This show is a part of the Podnuts Network. Find more shows like this at www.podnuts.com.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it! Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks, whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, Android, or Chrome OS user. We have the tips and tricks you need to tune tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you. My name's Nightwise, and I'll be your host on this episode of the podcast, KW905. Life on a Chromebook. For more information and the show notes, go on over to the website, www.nightwise.com. That's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to that feed and get all of the Nightwise.com podcasts delivered to your podcatcher automatically, letting technology work for you. Hey guys and girls, it's the last day of 2014. It's a rainy and cold outside, and I'm in here in the studio doing a live episode of KW905 Life on a Chromebook. This is take two of the live cast because before we did this, we have had a terrible time in getting Google Hangouts working, and my Mac decided to really pull a fast one on me and, mess up the first part of the live recording, which was very embarrassing, but that is none of your concern because you are podcast listeners and you just get to hear the finished products. Well, we're not on a hiatus like most podcasts are, not doing best ofs or reruns or just doing nothing between Christmas and New Year, because we've been on a hiatus for most of December. Life and work has been getting in the way, but it's great to be back. Behind the microphone and doing a show. Well, guys, today is going to be an interesting show. We are going to talk about the Chromebook. The Chromebook being that fancy Chrome OS laptop that has been appearing in the shelves of many, many tech retail supermarkets. Everybody's been raving about it for a couple of months. I was late to the party, but I got myself Acer... C730 11-inch Chromebook because I wanted to know what the buzz was all about, and I decided to play with it. It took me about a week to get used to it, and in that week I decided to only use the Chromebook. Hence the title of this episode, KW905 Life on a Chromebook. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of using a Chromebook. What are the possibilities? What are the limitations? And which hacks, tips, and tweaks can you cross-platform geeks use to really make a Chromebook work for you? Well, it's time to take a look at that. Let's get into the meat of the matter. It might very well be that you have spent the last year on a different planet. Either you were abducted by aliens, or perhaps you were sent by NASA to fix a flat tire on the Mars rover. And in that year, you have been unable to listen to any Earth broadcast and find anything about a Chromebook. Well, if that's the case, welcome back, and it's okay, we'll fill you in on what a Chromebook is. A Chromebook is an anorexic version of a netbook. Basically, it's a threesome between a network card, a mainboard, and a browser. Because for not a lot of money, you get not a lot of laptop. It's a machine that only sports one thing, a browser, and that's its operating system. So why would you need one? Well, that was the question that I asked myself not too long ago when I heard all about the Chromebook buzz. And I thought, what am I going to do with a laptop that has nothing on it except a browser? But it was time to bite the bullet and actually go for it and try it. So I got myself an Acer C730, an 11-inch Chromebook, which did remind me a little bit of my old Asus EEE701 netbook in the look and feel and the quality. I mean, this is not a high-end device, but my first impressions of it were it's actually not that bad. The laptop is very, very light. It looks like it's built pretty sturdy. I wouldn't use this in a, you know, on a building site or something, or give it to somebody who is extremely clumsy with laptops, because, you know, the hinges are well built, but it's, you know, it's minimalistic. Let's call it that. The keyboard is pretty good. I'm very interested. I was very pleasantly surprised. The keyboard is large enough and it has a nice feel to it to type on. You have these chiclet keys with enough spacing. And when I take a look at the keyboards of my MacBook Pro and my Chromebook, they kind of look alike. The MacBook Pro ones feel a little better to type on, but on the Chromebook, it's pretty much okay. The screen is a little bit more disappointing. It's not great. This is not a high quality, super contrasty, sharp, super great screen. It's great when you're at the right angle, but if you're at the wrong angle, it's not so great. I mean by that, that when you're looking at it at the correct angle and the right angle, the screen is good. The colors are a little bit washed out, but everything is clear and can be read well. But if you tilt the laptop display back a little bit too much or a little bit forward too much, you really see all the colors wash out, or the viewing angle is like 90 degrees straight ahead. And please don't think of using these laptops while sitting two chairs to the side and trying to glare at it. Some people might call that a bug. Some people have called it a privacy feature that only the person sitting in front of the notebook can read what's on the notebook. Well, the price is €269, which is overall not bad, especially considering that the battery life on this thing is awesome. And that is because it doesn't have to do all that much. It has to run one thing, and that one thing it has to run is Chrome OS. And, well, Chrome OS isn't there. Well, you don't really notice it. You have a wallpaper and you can launch a browser, and that is basically Chrome OS. You have the ability to save some files, but you only have 16 gigabytes of local storage. You have an N-class network card, which gives you high-speed wireless connection, and two USB ports, and that's it. So you don't get a lot of laptop for that amount of money, but the amount of laptop that you get is actually surprisingly good enough. So let's talk about the Chrome OS that's on there. The Chrome OS is basically your Chrome browser as you know it and have installed it perhaps on your Mac or your Linux machine or your Windows machine, God knows what. So it's synced up with Google, so your bookmarks and everything come over from your Chrome installation after you sign in into Chrome OS. And then you can add some things to your browser. And this is where I thought it got pretty confusing, because in Chrome OS, you have Chrome apps and you have Chrome extensions. And it was a little bit hard for me to find out what was what. I mean, I have this Chrome browser here and I can go to the Chrome store to get extra apps/extensions to my Chrome browser. So what do I do with that? So extensions are basically little sub-programs that are added to your browser to give it extra possibilities. And extensions are there no matter on what operating system you're running your Chrome. So if you have installed an extension on your Chromebook, you can also use that extension on your Chrome browser when you are logged in on your different machine, on another machine, your Mac or your Windows machine. So an example of an extension is, for example, the Pocket extension. It is a little button that sits next to your address bar and helps your browser do things. So in case of Pocket, when I am surfing and I find a page that I find interesting and I want to add it to Pocket, I just punch the little button and the page gets added to Pocket. Now, there is also a Pocket app. And this is a separate icon in your Chrome launcher, which is a Chrome OS launcher, which is kind of like a start menu. And when I press it, it takes me directly to Pocket. It logs in and gives me the Pocket interface with all of my articles in a different window. So you have the Pocket extension that helps the browser do things, and you have the Pocket app, which is kind of like a standalone application. And I do use air quotes when I say application, because quite frankly, most of these apps, some of them do standalone-y things, and some of them are just links to whatever website the extension or application points to. So for example, there is the Feedly app, which is basically just Feedly in a window. So that was really confusing to me to find out, like, what was an app, what was an extension, and what was just a direct link. And to be very honest, they kind of go, they are a little bit jumbled up in the Chrome App Store. But the best tip I can give you is just go into the Chrome App Store and try to look for what you want and just press install, and don't worry about whether it's an app, a link to a website, or an extension. Now, using the Chromebook was, of course, a whole new thing. That was completely new to me. I was used to working on Macs and Linux machines and Windows machines that gave me an actual computer underneath. The Chromebook is, well, a web-based thin client because it can do hardly anything on its own. It has to be connected to the web. So what if you take this baby to work? That was, for me, the ultimate test. I was going to see if the Chromebook was really worth it, and I was going to take it to work with me. So the next day, I had a meeting scheduled with one of my clients. And normally, I take my MacBook there, so I just have everything with me. But I decided to be bold and take just my Chromebook. So we're going to see what happens when you take your Chromebook to work. So, is the Chromebook right for work? That kind of depends on how you work. A lot of people say the Chromebook is not right for work. No, it's not good. It doesn't have any local applications and stuff like that. Yeah, that's true. And whether or not that works for you depends not on the Chromebook, but it depends on your workflows. It's like buying a car and afterwards complaining that it can't fly. There is only a limited amount of things that a Chromebook can do, but with that limited amount of things, you can get your stuff done should you want to, and it all depends on how you work. I took the Chromebook with me to the client on the first day, and I thought, you know, he has a Wi-Fi hotspot, I can connect to everything, I don't need any files with me, I'm good. But when I got there, the client asked me, so have you brought those 3 files that you did for me? I said, like, oh, yeah, because I sent them to you. Yeah, but I kind of lost them. Don't you have them on your laptop? And that was it. They weren't on my laptop because I didn't have any local files. Now, I managed to work around that because my workflow is kind of cloud-oriented. And it is, however, an anecdote of the things that you can run into with your Chromebook. It all depends on what you expect and what you need. So whether or not the Chromebook works for your workflow depends on your workflow, not on your device. The Chromebook is basically a browser with a couple of add-ons, and how you organize your workflows depends is going to determine whether or not the Chromebook is going to be successful. The Chromebook is designed to connect to the public cloud. It is built with a certain purpose in mind. Google has designed the Chrome OS and sponsored the price of your Chromebook just for you to use Chrome OS, not another browser, and if possible, use their Google Apps and their Google environment and pay for that if you want to, or you use the free version. But you can also access everything else that is on the web. And with the cloud booming, that's quite a bit. So it's heavily geared towards the public cloud and the internet. There are no client-side applications to speak of. I mean, if you are used to working with a with a local Outlook client or a local Thunderbird client or a local I don't know what client, there's not a lot of that to go around. It's not really designed to be used offline. So if your workflows kind of make you offline for a large amount of the day, then the Chromebook's probably not really for you. And it's not really geared to tunnel into corporate networks using VPNs and stuff like a classic laptop is. So here was my dilemma at the client. He asked me for those files and I didn't have those files with me. Luckily, I had them in the public cloud. I also had them on my home server, but there is no option to just, dial into a PPTP VPN server on the Chromebook. This thing is meant to be used in the public cloud. So instead of using an abstract example where how the Chromebook might work for you depending on your hypothetical workflow, I'll just give you a little hint on how I work and which apps and stuff that I use that let me use my Chromebook for, I think, 99% of what I do. Now, I've been used to doing stuff on a OS independent platform. When I did the episode, the cross-platform startup, I explained my workflow on how I had trimmed and tuned the workflows of my company so I could use any laptop whatsoever to do my thing. So I wasn't dependent on Windows. I wasn't dependent on Linux or Mac. I could just do what I needed to do for my company. So how I work on the Chromebook for my company is as follows. I use Gmail. I have Google Apps in the cloud for my domain, and I also use Gmail offline. This gives me the ability to do email, communicate with my clients, and when I'm offline, still take a look at their emails and reply or work through them and then synchronize when I get back online. Works on the Chromebook, no issue. I use the Sunrise Calendar app, that's a Chrome app, and I sync it with my Google Calendars. The great thing with the Sunrise Calendar is that it is available offline and that you can sync back when you reconnect. So that works great on the Chromebook. I keep notes in Evernote, which on the Chromebook I can only do online. I keep a track of my to-do list on using the web app called AnyDo, which is also on the Chromebook, available only online. And I use Google Docs for text editing and stuff like that. Now, on my home network, I had some... I wanted to interact with my Linux servers that I had running. So I, instead of opening up SSH ports and using SSH clients, I just installed the app Shell in a Box on my Linux server. And this allows me to connect to my terminal on a browser, which is great. It works on any browser and it works great on Google Chrome. I have a NAS at home and I do store files there and I do need to connect to those files or get those files from time to time. I have VPN solutions for my regular laptops, but for the Chromebooks, I decided to use OwnCloud. I have a Linux server that is running OwnCloud, and OwnCloud is a web-based interface to your files. It's kind of like Dropbox, but just for you. So using the OwnCloud server, I mounted the folders on my NAS drive, and using a web browser, I can upload and download files to my home network and my home file server using just a browser. Works on a Chromebook. When I want to write up small articles or do some, some writing or type something out and I'm offline, I use the Writer application, which is a Chrome app. Great thing about Writer, it is a distraction-free interface to doing some writing. You have a black background and green letters and that's it. So very minimalistic. I really like it. But it also syncs offline and online with your Let me see here, Dropbox and Google Drive. So that's a great app on the Chromebook that I use quite a bit to type and write articles, and that is called Writer. I've also found an application that is called Record Screencast, and Record Screencast lets me do just that, record 10-minute screencasts on my Chromebook. So those are the things that I have installed on my Chromebook, how I work on my Chromebook. But one of the things I ran into, not too far into my week, was the fact that, you know, when I'm out and about with my Chromebook, I use the public networks quite a bit. And I don't really like using public Wi-Fi. It really irks me because you can very easily sniff traffic or set up honeypots, and you never know how safe that Wi-Fi network is that you're on. Now, on my Linux machines and on my Macs, I have set up a little application called Shuttle, S-S-H-U-T-T-L-E. And that basically makes a tunnel from your laptop to an SSH server in my home network, and then shoves every piece of internet traffic through there. It arrives encrypted on my home router, goes through the SSH server that I have, and then leaves for the internet. So the part between my laptop on the foreign network and the place where I leave for the internet, and that's my home router, is completely encrypted. I really love this solution, and I spent some time looking for something on the Chromebook that would help me do that as well, because the Chromebook doesn't have any VPN adapters to speak of. So I thought, how am I going to tunnel back into my home network, and how am I going to encrypt my traffic, and how am I going to be safe when I am on my on a public Wi-Fi network? So I thought this, I found this great little tool. And let me see here where the show notes are, so I just get the name straight. And it's called Switchy Shop. Switchy Shop is an extension, a proxy extension, that tells your Chrome browser to tunnel all of its traffic through a certain point, through a certain port. So how does it work? Pretty easily. You use the app, Chrome app, called Secure Shell. Secure Shell is a terminal application for Chrome that lets you set up an SSH connection to your home server. Easy. You enter the coordinates of your home server and you enter an option to forward traffic of port, let's say 8080, dynamically. I'll put a link to show notes on how to do that. Once you've established a connection, you set up Switchy Shop and you tell your Chrome browser to use that one dynamic port, port 8080, and send not only all of your HTTP traffic through there, but also your DNS traffic. That way, all of the web requests of your Chromebook, which are all DNS and HTTP anyway, get tunneled through that SSH connection, tunnel back to your home, there they leave the internet, and that way you are not only completely secured on the foreign network, because you use an SSH connection for all of your traffic, but you can also tunnel back to your home network. And on my home network, I have all these web interfaces like Webmin and Shell in a Box and OwnCloud that I can access using the browser on my Chromebook. So that was for me a way not only to use my Chromebook to work with the public cloud, stuff like Dropbox and Google Drive and Google Calendar and Gmail, but also with my own private network where I have a web-based interface to my NAS, a web-based interface to my network printer, Webmin interfaces to my server, so that way I could also use the Chromebook to connect to my home network. Can you take your Chromebook out to work? It depends on how you work, but if you look around long enough and kind of think about how you do things, I think you can survive on a Chromebook during a workday without too much trouble. But all work and no play makes Nightwise a dull boy. Can you be entertained by Chromebook? That's the question. I mean, when the lights go out and the work dies down and everybody leaves for home and you take your little Chromebook home with you, can it keep you entertained? Because let's face it, there is hardly any storage on this machine, no place to put torrented movies should you have downloaded them, or massive music collections. How can something that is so small, so light, and has basically zero storage keep you entertained? I decided to test it out. Niana was out for the evening to yoga class, and I was at home deciding to be bold and once again only use my Chromebook to do the entertainment. So at first I read a book on my ebook reader and I decided that the Chromebook would be in charge of the musical department. Dear Chromebook, stream music for me. Well, there's a lot of music to be streamed. Of course, you can get a Spotify account or listen to Grooveshark or SoundCloud. That's great. You can listen to music for hours. The C730 has kind of decent speakers. I also have pretty good headphones. So that was great. And then I thought, you know, how about, you know, watching some movies? So I connected to the web interface of my Plex server, where I can, you know, watch whatever I've stored on my Plex server using a browser. You don't need a client. That worked, and that worked fine via the web interface. After that, I decided to dive into YouTube, and my God, there is so much stuff on YouTube. I mean, I don't care that I don't have a torrent client on this thing. There is so much content that you can just stream for free. I decided to look for episodes of Battlestar Galactica 1980, and I found the entire season to watch, which was awesome. I'm old, I'm retro, I watch that kind of thing. But there is so much on YouTube to keep you entertained. The great thing is that the Chromebook works wonderfully with the Chromecast. I've got a Chromecast stick in my TV. All I needed to do is go to YouTube and just press the Chromecast extension, and it worked perfectly. The Chromebook turned out to be an excellent remote. It streamed the video to the Chromecast. I watched TV using the Chromecast from content that was on YouTube, and it worked perfectly. It's amazing how good this works, and my Chromebook with nothing on it was my main source of entertainment for the entire evening, because when I was done with YouTube, there was only also Vimeo, and there were also TED Talks to watch, so much content that I could go to. I also went to the Internet Archive and looked up some old classic sci-fi movies. Great, great stuff. And you have the Chromecast extension for Chrome that allows you to throw whatever content that you have straight to your Chromecast. It works great. There is, of course, that moment when you want to watch videos offline. And I found the app called Subtitle Video Player, which is a Chrome app. That allows me to play almost any extension on my Chromebook. So I have an SD card with movies on it. I think MK4, MKV, MV4, all kinds of wacky formats. It supports it. It's kind of like a VLC-ish player for Google Chrome, for the Chromebook, sorry. And that will just play any offline medium that you have. And because the Chromebook has a micro SD card, you can just put movies on there or on a USB stick and use one of the two USB slots or the micro SD card. Oh, sorry, the SD card slot, not a micro SD card, the SD card slot to slide in a little bit of extra storage. By the way, a little tip on that. I have ripped my classic Star Trek OS TOS series to a micro SD card. I have ordered a mini micro SD card adapter online that is about half the size of a standard mini SD card. I slide the micro SD card into the SD card slot, which is, you know, the adapter, which is about half the size, and slide that into my Chromebook, and it doesn't stick out, and you can just add storage that way easily, and you have it with you offline. So whether or not you're online and there is the plethora of entertainment on the internet to keep you entertained, or offline where you can use the Subtitle Video Player to play movies and subtitle files while you're offline, I am pretty much certain that your Chromebook can keep you entertained. But what if your Default design specifications are not enough. What if you want more out of your Chromebook? Can you? Well, you can. Hardware-wise, it's actually quite easy. You can, as I said earlier, add some storage by using a SD card or using a small SD card adapter and a micro SD card and shove in, 64 gigabytes of extra storage. You can do that. You can use one of the two USB ports on there to connect an extra mouse, a keyboard. You can even connect an extra webcam. I haven't tried that yet. So that works also pretty well. And you can use the HDMI connector to actually connect it to a big screen, which also works fine. And you can use the Chromebook either with the lid open or the lid closed when you're connecting it to an external screen. That works really well. I'm pretty pleased with that. So that's all good and well. That's all kind of basic, but you can take it, of course, one step further. Those are hardware hacks. That's a big word. Extensions to your Chromebook, but you can also make it do stuff that it was not supposed to do. And that is the stuff that we absolutely love, of course. One of the things that you can do on these things, and that is where the hype comes, is that you can run Linux on them. You can install different distributions of Linux on your Chromebook. The first thing that you can do is dual boot your Chromebook, where you take the limited local storage and cut it in half. You give one half to your Chrome OS, you give the other half to your Linux install, and at the beginning of your boot sequence, you just choose whether or not you want to use Linux or you want to use Chrome OS. This keeps the two environments completely separated, and it lets you dual boot your Chromebook. I would go over to distroshare.com, which is a great website where you can find a customized Ubuntu distro for dual booting your Chromebook, and that works pretty well. But what if you say, well, dual booting is okay, but I don't want to choose. I want to slide. You can actually slide from OS to OS on your Chromebook, and it works pretty darn well if you use Crouton. Crouton is a script that lets you install Linux on your Chromebook side by side to your Chrome OS. The way it works is you put your Chromebook into developer mode. That's pretty easy to do. You download the Crouton script, and then in a terminal, you tell Crouton to go download some Linux distro that you can choose with some graphical interface that you can choose. You can choose to use LXDE or XFCE or Unity or KDE or I don't know what. You can choose from various flavors of Linux. There are the Ubuntu distros that you can have installed. There are the Debian instances that you can install. All kinds of different distros that you can have the Crouton script install. And what it does, it installs them side by side. That means that the storage on your Chromebook is shared by both operating systems. So if you save something in Linux, it's also available in Chrome OS. This is great stuff, to be honest. And it lets you install Linux on your Chromebook. Now, keep in mind that you have limited storage, so a full-fledged distro install might not be a good idea because you'll eat up too much storage space, but it works pretty good. The great thing is that you can switch back and forth between the two operating systems using two simple keystrokes, and I think that's Control-Alt... left arrow and Control Alt right arrow, and then you can really jump from Chrome OS to the Linux distro. I like that because the Linux distro keeps running in the background, Chrome OS keeps running in the background, and stuff like suspend resume works perfectly. You just close the lid, open the lid, jump into Chrome, do stuff, press the buttons, go into Linux, do other stuff, jump back. I love it. It's like having two laptops side by side with one keyboard and one screen. It's absolutely awesome. Really, really cool. Now, the distro that you get when you're using the Crouton script is pretty basic. And that's not a bad thing because it helps you not to overpimp your Linux install. It's still a Chromebook and it does have limited storage. So you get the basic apps in your Linux distro and you can just install whatever you need. I loved doing this. I installed Ubuntu Linux with XFCE, and I decided that I would only need the minimum amount of applications to be used offline in my Linux distro. So what did I install? I installed Shuttle so I could tunnel home on my Linux machine. I installed, let me see here, Skype, because that wasn't on the Chromebook and I might need that. That was cool. I installed OpenOffice offline so I could use, you know, do spreadsheets and stuff offline when I wanted to. Focusrite for blogging and a couple of terminal apps, but only the absolute minimum. Now, how do I use my Chromebook? Well, I also use, you know, how do I use the Linux distro on my Chromebook? I use it to do the things that Chrome OS cannot do. And what I've started to notice is that the amount of stuff that Chrome OS cannot do is not very much. But there are those things like, for example, Audacity or Screencast, a decent video editor, or Skype are not available on Chrome OS, but this is where Linux jumps in and can really fill that gap. And then you get a combination of something that is very, very interesting. You get a light laptop, also both in price, in processor power, and in weight, that can run two operating systems at the same time, side by side, allowing you to jump over from one to the other. So cross-platform sliding right there. It has an awesome battery life. I really does. I mean, I plug this thing in like I plug in my phone. Overnight, I yank it out of the power cord, and then I use it all day long and never have to worry about the battery. And that's about it. I have a great laptop that is cheap, light. It's not very powerful, but it does what it needs to do. It uses the power of the cloud. It has a Linux operating system on the side when I need it to really access that power. And then you go into the power of Linux where you can do a lot with not a lot of storage and not a lot of CPU power. So you have a lot of options for not a lot of money. And it's a beautiful device. I take this with me every single day now because my MacBook Pro, although I love the thing, is just too valuable and too expensive to take with me. If they steal my Chromebook, what the hell? I don't care. It's like 200 euros or 250 euros, and there's nothing on there. So it's a great laptop, not only as an extra laptop, but also as a challenge for a cross-platform geek to see how far he can take his cross-platform skills. Can you do everything in a browser? And if not, what if you had Linux on the side to kind of fill in the gaps? A great little device. I've been working for it for over a week now, and more it's challenging me to, you know, what else can I do on this? What else can I do on this? And with the combination of Chrome OS and Linux, there is not a lot that you cannot do on a Chromebook. If you haven't gotten one yet, don't be frightened by the fact that it's just a browser, because you're not just a geek. If you're listening to this show, you know how to expand the possibilities of your Chromebook, either within the design specifications or beyond the design specifications. I've been living on a Chromebook for a week, and I must say, I am able to survive. I am still here. And yes, you can have life on a Chromebook. And that's all we have time for on Nightwise.com, KW905, Life on a Chromebook. The question whether or not you can live on your Chromebook has been answered. I think that you can. If you're a cross-platform geek who loves to slide from OS to OS, the Chromebook will be something to your liking. It's a light device that offers you a lot of possibilities at a low price. You're limited by the storage. You can enhance that, but you shouldn't take a look at a Chromebook the way you look at a normal laptop. Think of it as kind of an netbook, an expandable netbook that if you do your stuff right, you'll be able to really make that small, light, powerful battery-wise and cheap device really, really work for you. don't see it as a heavy, super-powered laptop. You can probably run Steam on this, but the question is, do you want to? I don't know if you want to make your Chromebook do things it wasn't designed to do. It's kind of like finding the balance between using the closed Chrome OS, pimping it with Linux, and expecting it to do what your MacBook Pro or your i7 workstation can do. I don't think that you have to go that far, but there is plenty of room between all of those extremes to find a laptop for a cheap price that can really, really work for you. I'm taking this baby along with me almost every day now because I don't fear losing it or breaking it, and still it does what it needs to do. If I'm online, it flies, and when I'm offline, I can use either the Essentials or switch to Linux. It's just darn great. So that's all we have time for this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. You know where to go when you want to send us feedback. Feedback@Nightwise.com is our email address. You can, of course, go over to the website, www.nightwise.com, and put a comment in the article for this episode if you have any questions. We're on Twitter, nightwise.com/Twitter. We're on Facebook, nightwise.com/Facebook. And we're on Google+, nightwise.com/Google+, all one word. If you want to support the show, you can send us a donation like Bree did. Thank you, Bree, for sending us a donation, or surprise us with a Star Trek original series tricorder as a Christmas gift like Allison and Steve did. Thank you very much, which it was a pleasant surprise. I am now the proud owner of a original series tricorder replica, and I keep scanning people for intelligent life, but it seems to be broken because it's not out there. But that being said, this was Nightwise.com for 2014. Have a great year's end. If you're going to celebrate, be careful out there. And we will be back in the next year bringing you hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Until then, let technology work for you and let technology work for you and not the other way around. See you guys and girls. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.